These are very familiar words. I think the majority of Christians have heard these words before, and you've developed some kind of understanding of what you think they mean, and you know, that's fine. I'd say the vast majority of Christians think that when we talk about cross-bearing and picking up your cross, when we're talking about that, we're talking about carrying the burdens of life. You know, whatever life throws your way, whether it's physical, you know, problems, or whether it's mental problems, or whether it's, you know, maybe you got a nagging wife or a husband that doesn't mind, or unruly children that you can't keep. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't believe that's really what this means in this verse today, but that's kind of what we've let it mean. We've said, okay, you take up your cross, then what you're doing, you're taking up the burdens of life, and that's far from what I think it means. And today I want to spend just a short time sharing with you what I believe it means for us, and hopefully can take away from this passage something and apply it to our lives that will make us better Christians and make us better people. God gave me this message when I was on the way to Birmingham on Highway 280. That's not a good time to get a message, can I tell you that? But he did. He gave me this message, and I know it's going to help somebody. I know it's for someone. So I want you to just sit back and think about what we're talking about. In order to figure this out, let's get into the Word. On your front of your left side of your hat, your hangout, the message is entitled, "Is Your Cross Dragging? Is Your Cross Dragging?" And then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Verse 25 says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. But I tell you that truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Till they see the kingdom of God. Now, we have to understand Scripture in the context from which it's written. This is Jesus gathering the disciples together for for some instruction prior to them entering into Jerusalem. He's trying to get them ready because he knows what's facing them in Jerusalem, and it's not going to be a pretty thing. And he's trying to get them to understand what it actually means to follow him. He's trying to make them see, if you're going to follow me, it's going to have to be different than what I've seen before. So he starts talking about cross-bearing discipleship. I'm talking about, this morning, we're talking about true discipleship. You understand? We're not talking like people want to come to church just so they'll be a part of the road. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that truly want to follow Christ every day of their life. That's a true disciple. When I say true disciple, that's what I'm going to mean. It's unfortunate that in our world today, not this church, but many churches, the church as a whole today has become filled with casual Christians, I like to call them, because they want to just be a part of the roll and want to be counted. They want to come on so many Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever the night is and be a part and say, "Hey, that's my church. I go to that church." And then if you mention something to them about what does it mean to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Christ, they have no idea what you're talking about because they thought they were doing it. And that's the misunderstanding that comes with this passage. They would tell you things like, "Well, you know, my mother's been sick and we lost my dad, and you know, brother got so, and he got in trouble with the law or this, that, or the other, and we went through a lot of burdens we carry in our cross." That's not what it means. Not at all. And I want you to understand this morning that far more is expected of us than that, and far greater is the reward that we're going to get than that. Taking up your cross daily leads to a transformation. It means you're going to change. If you spend a lot of time with Jesus, you're going to change, folks. You're not going to be you. You're going to be more like him. I heard someone doing a job interview, I won't tell who, and they ask him, "Tell us a little bit about yourself." You know what the person said? Most impressive thing? He said, "Well, I'm a born-again Christian." You see, my life belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I follow him every day of my life. And the reason I follow him is so I want to be a little bit more like him every day. Ooh. I might want to hire that guy. You know what I'm saying? What a tremendous thing to say. But now, that's what it actually is all about. And here's the truth. It was never supposed to be a choice you make. It's a command. He's sitting with the disciples and Jesus is commanding them. This is the way it's got to be, folks. You know, if you're gonna follow me, you can't be casual in it. You know, you got to change. You got to be a different person every day because you were around me. And that's kind of what he says to them. Now, and that's a lot about what I saw in Bible school when I come. I told people in Sunday school this morning, I like to come to Bible school because I want to be around God. I want to see Jesus. I see it in these people that are running all over the place when they think they ain't got any energy left to do anything anymore, and a child needs something, and they do it. What a beautiful thing that is. That's Jesus. That's not you. You know, you left being you. You probably left being you when you left home and got up here and saw what was going on, you know. But you left that. Now, I want us to understand what the cross means. Because we say in that verse, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. I think the cross has the entire meaning for what we're looking at, okay? The cross actually was a symbol of death. That's what it was. It was a symbol of death. Now, these people that Jesus is talking to, they had been around and they had seen criminals under the penalty of death for their crime, whatever it was. They had seen them have to carry their cross on their back up to Golgotha to be crucified. That was the way they killed people. So they kind of knew what that meant. But what brought the cross, what made the cross necessary? It was a sin. It was a sin that you and I have in our lives. That's what made crosses necessary. That's what made Jesus' cross necessary. He got on that cross for us because we were sinful. We're sinful by nature. We're born that way. But he got on that cross because of our sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is life eternal through Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. What you get for sin and sinning all your life is death. So that's the cross. So you got to relate sin to the cross. This problem with sin comes into play here. And I put in your notes the terms of discipleship. This is what Jesus was telling these followers that were gathered around listening to him. He's telling them that these are the terms of discipleship. If you're going to follow me, then this is what you do. And it's not negotiable. You're going to follow me, this is what you do. First, he said, if anyone desires, let him come after me and let him deny himself. If he desires to come after me, let him deny himself. So the first thing I put, a true disciple must put something down. You must lay something down in that blank. And what you're laying down is your sinful self. You must deny that. You must put your old self back and deny it if you're going to follow Jesus. You can't, a lot of people think, I can follow Jesus, just live my life any way I want to do it. Doesn't work that way. That's not what he said. If it was in here, I'd read it to you. But I hadn't found that. So what it means is we got to lay something down. We got to put this thing aside that was our old sin nature. Too many times it wants to creep back into the equation. Happened to you? It sure enough happens to me. Sin nature wants to remind me of who I am sometimes. I know who I am. I know. And I know it's there, but I also know the Holy Spirit lives in there. And in order to deal with this sin problem, I've got some practical ways I think can help you do it. I really do. And I'm not sharing them with you, you know, without trying them out. I've tried them. Believe me, this works. I want you to think about this. Because the first thing, dealing with the problem of sin, I put in your notes there, dealing with the problem of sin, the first thing we've got to deal with is what we're thinking about. It's our thoughts. We sin in three ways. We sin in thought, word, and deed. We sin in what we think about, we sin in what we say, and then we sin in what we actually do about it. And it normally comes in that progression, if you think about it. You know, you think about something, and then you usually say something that follows the thought. And if that thought was sinful, what you said usually followed the thought. It was probably sinful. And then you take it one step further and go do something that was sinful. And that's the problem. Dealing with those three things, particularly the thoughts. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose somebody comes, you see somebody coming. This person don't like you a little bit. They don't like you at all. And you ain't real crazy about them because they didn't like you at all. And you see them coming. First thought comes to your mind is, I say something judgmental to them, I'll get them. Is that right? No. So you got to stop it right there. As soon as the thought comes into your mind, you tell your thought, that's not of God. Wait a minute, what are you doing? I can't go past that. Because the thought is a temptation. You haven't sinned yet. You haven't done it yet. So kill the thought at the root. When you have a thought that is not of God, that is sinful, or some way or another, if it's of yourself, to please yourself, then most of the time it's sinful. That's why he says, let a person deny themselves. That word deny means to affirm no conviction or relation to anything. That's what deny means. So if you're going to deny yourself, you have no relation to your old self, your old sinful nature. I got no relation to that. I'm now focused on God. And in thought, word, and deed, I'm going to overcome the sin that's in my life. Now you say, this is going to bring in, you know, more thought here. We got to remember that in these terms of discipleship, that our mind stands guard at the door of our hearts. We don't want this mess getting from up here down into our hearts, because this is where the Holy Spirit lives. To blood-bought Christians, this is where the Holy Spirit lives. We don't want those poison thoughts or those sinful thoughts getting here. Get rid of them up here. Tell yourself right quick, I'm not saying anything like that. That's not right. That's not Christian. If I can't think of something Christian to say, then I'm not going to say anything. If I can't think of something that would glorify God, let your speech glorify God. Let what you say. And I've heard this, and it's not in context with religion or anything like that, but I believe it's true. And I'm not here to teach you about positive attitude this morning. That's not what I'm teaching Scripture. But positive words, think about what you say. Don't say negative things. Negative people don't get anything done. You know what they do? They sit around and criticize everything that's going to be done. You have to plan to do it, and they'll say, that plan will never work. That's what they'll say. Positive people will be sitting there going, man, we work hard enough, we can get this done. Negative people will be saying, oh, I can't work that hard, that's awful. You see what I'm talking about? Try to keep negative thoughts out of your mind. Put them aside. If you have them, get rid of them. Be positive for Christ. If you control your thought life, you'll go a long way toward winning this battle against sin. Which I believe brings up another question. and this question is, are you saying we can sin less? You ever thought about that? The answer is absolutely, you can sin less. Well, we're by nature, I'm a sinner. What are you going to do? Just give up and say, That's like saying, I got a fast car and all I'm going to do is drive fast. It might get you in a place you don't want to be. See, we can sin less than what we do. If these things are adhered to, that's what Jesus was telling them, folks. Jesus was saying, hey, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. But you got to deny yourself. Don't lend yourself to the old Christian, the old sinful life that you have. Turn again. So we can sin less. We can do it. And when we do it, here's the beautiful thing. All you got to do, control your thought process. I've had this bullet in my gun for about a month here, okay? This sermon. So I've been practicing it. And I'm here to tell you it works. I was blown away. You know, every time I'd have a thought about something, I'd say, whoa, wait a minute now. You can't get up there and preach that and not live it. So I started with the thought process. Then I started trying to watch. Now, I'm not going to tell you I hadn't done something, said something bad or whatever in the last month. You know better than that. But I ain't proud of it. That I can tell you. Because our nature of sin is in us. We're not going to get rid of that. What you can get rid of is the propensity to do it. You don't have to live in it. And that's what he's saying. You can get rid of it before then. But until, let me tell you something. If you ever wonder who your favorite person in this world is, you can absolve all doubt. Look in the mirror. That's who it is. That's who it is. Don't be deceived. You care more about that person you see in that mirror than you do anybody else on this planet. It's in your nature to be that way. That's why he's saying deny yourself. Put something down. Deny yourself and pick up your cross. You know, until you deny yourself, there's no need to pick the cross up. You can't carry it. Till you get rid of your self baggage and get it out of the way, cross going to be way too heavy to lift. You can't carry what's coming with it until you get rid of yourself. So it's thought, word, and deed. Romans 6:11 says this, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Being alive in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses. I get this because Teresa and Cinda used to sing this song, and I thought it was the most beautiful thing. I thought the way they harmonized was beautiful through it, and it was. But what's even more beautiful is what the words mean. I've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I now live a life that's crucified. My old self's been put on a cross and crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with him, but yet I live. You see, the spirit that's in me is allowing me to live. I still got life because of what he did for me on the cross. Which brings us to the second part. We must lay something down, denying ourselves. And the second part, a true disciple must pick something up. They've got to pick up your cross. What does that mean? Well, if you're dead to sin, you got to have something to follow now. You're not following your old sinful life. You're not following that. So now you pick up your cross and you follow the life of Jesus. Like he said, look on your next page, Romans 6:13 said, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Woo! Being alive. That's what picking up that cross means. Hey, I'm alive with Christ now. You know, this used to be a burden. This old sin cross here, not a burden anymore. I'm running with it. I've got God in my heart now. I got Christ on my side. There's nothing going to defeat me because I've taken up my cross and now I can walk at good speed. Well, what happens if I let the old sin nature try to come back? Cross starts dragging, doesn't it? And you can't make the kind of progress that you were making before. A very simple object lesson. We pick up that cross and we start following him. And we become alive in Christ. The disciple becomes alive in Christ. That's what true discipleship is. We seek to live out our life in the will of God. I don't have it in your notes, but John 8:12 says this, and Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the whole light of the life, but have a hold of the light of life. He that follows me shouldn't walk in darkness, but have the life of light. That's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. So we got to pick up something, and it's being alive in Christ. 1 Peter 4:2 says this, that he no longer should live, that the this is a Christian disciple now, should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. That's why a lot of people say this, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Are you following after him? Is that what you're doing? Because see, if you follow after God, his will is going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed right there in your life. You don't have to wonder what it is. You'll be living it. You'll be living out what his will is for you. And that his will is so sweet, it doesn't matter what happens, you're going to accept it. And you're going to be tickled to death. You know, the great thing about this is when we become alive in Christ, the denying ourselves pushes that back. And you know what comes forth? The fruits of the Spirit. Spirit's in us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of them are there. And they'll come out and express themselves in you. You'll have kindness coming out of your mouth. You'll have love toward the brethren. Like I saw in Bible school. It's just that we love each other. Let's get this thing done. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. Fruits of the Spirit being exhibited. That's when we become alive in Christ. C part I put, as disciples, we must also live something out. We've gotten rid of our old self. We've picked up our cross and become alive in Christ. And now we've got to live the life out. Not in our notes. Mark 10:45 says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Which means we are to be, if we pick up our cross and follow Christ, we are to be co-ministers with him in this life. We've got to have a ministry, you know. It's so important if we're going to live out the life of Christ to have a ministry of some kind. Join him in the path that he's traveling. You got a purpose on your journey. You're living for him. You see how much better that is? Can I tell you that cows, just cows, okay? Cows follow each other. You have never seen that? Let the guy come to feed them, and they'll start following. One of them will head that way, the second one will head that way, the next thing, the whole herd's coming. How do you think they drove the herds through the Old West? You know, they'd have to go around up a straight trying to get out. The rest of the time, they just pushed them, gone, and the cows went. Because they follow each other. Now, they don't imitate or follow their master. They don't have the capacity for that, but they follow. So if all you're doing is following, then I can't call you a cow. That wouldn't be good. Yeah. But I mean, you're doing what cows do. If that's all you're doing is picking up and following the person in front of you, that's all it is. And you know, I wonder sometimes at why the church seems at times to be so ineffective and so unattractive to people. Let me tell you something. This week at Bible school, when I saw certain things, I saw people working and kids enjoying themselves and knowing that the glory of God was being realized in this place. That was so attractive. Man, I just want to be, you know, I don't do any work. I'm just going to come watch, you know. They don't let me do any work. But I come watch. Lori's always involved me for many, many years. It's been a beautiful thing. I've been involved in a lot of ministries that Lori has and Joy and some of the others. They let me take part in their ministry. And what a beautiful thing it is to see how God works in their life. That's what I want to say. Do you see that happening? That's attractive. You know what I mean? It's almost contagious. You want to be a part of it. I don't know what I have to do, but I want to be a part of it. Folks, that's the way the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to be. There's people should be knocking the doors down to get in here. You know, we need to have that happening. It needs to be that attractive. And we've lost some of that today. And the reason we've lost some of that is because we've lost fundamental ideas of what cross-bearing actually means, of what cross-bearing is. It's denying yourself, your sinful self. It's denying it. It's becoming alive in Christ Jesus and following after him and living your life out with him as the center of your life. John 12, 20 through 25 says this, "But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much. He who lives his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life.'" Which brings us to the last part of the sermon. Oh, Lord, y'all are excited now, aren't you? The last part of the sermon is the disciples' reward. He says, he who loses his life in a quest living after Christ, he'll gain his life in heaven. There'll be eternal life. Ooh. There'll be eternal life. The disciples' reward. Look what John 26 says. "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." One day we're going to get to rejoice in heaven. Amen. One day we're going to look back at this and say, "Oh man, if I should have done more for him. You know, I know I did this and I know I did that, but I wished I had done more." I believe that's what we're going to say is, "I wished I had done more." Well, let me ask you this question as I finish up. Where does this find you today? Where's your cross in relation to discipleship this morning? You might be dragging a little bit, but it's time to deny yourself. It's time to come alive in Christ. And it's time to face up to your responsibilities as Christians. They, like I say, they were never a choice. Now, I want to say this, as Keith, if you guys will come, we finish this up. As you may be here this morning and you may be saying, I don't really know what he's talking about. I don't even have a cross. Don't you be ashamed of that. You know why? Don't you worry about the person sitting next to you, the person sitting over here that you worried about what might happen if you decide to commit your life to Christ. What are they going to think of you? Well, let me explain something to you. They are sinners just like you are. Amen. And just like I am. They're going to have to do it one day or another. They're never going to see the kingdom. Right. If you don't commit your life to Jesus Christ, you're not going to see the kingdom. I can assure you of that. This heaven and all this reward I'm talking about, that's where it's going to be. All you have to do is commit your life to Christ. And he'll take you and he'll do things with your life that you never dreamed possible. Because he can. Because he's good and that's who he is. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. So when we sing this song this morning, if you feel that way and you say, "Hey, I've never committed my life to Jesus at all. So that doesn't even apply to me." It can apply to you. All you have to do is get up out of your seat this morning. You can do it right where you sit. If you need help, then I'll be glad to pray with you. There are others up here that can do it better than I can. And you can commit your life to Christ today and begin the journey. It's time. Let me tell you something. Don't wait till tomorrow, folks. Because tomorrow may never come. Don't wait for tomorrow. You get up and do it today. Come down to this altar and commit your life to Jesus Christ. Make sure it's taken care of. Don't gamble with a thing like that. Don't gamble with that kind of thing. You also may be sitting here this morning and you say, "You know, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. But, you know, I never understood really what those words meant. I thought they meant carrying my burdens with me." And they will. If you sin enough, they'll become a burden. That's where the burden comes in. But you may be here and you say, hey, you know, my cross isn't where it should be. I'm running the race and I'm dragging because I just can't seem to keep, I can't seem to keep my cross up. I take it up, but I can't seem to keep it because the world's attacking me. It's trying its best to take my cross down again. And it can't do it. It just thinks it can. But you need to come this morning. Maybe you need to pray and get in prayer and say, God, please help me. I need your help. I need you more than anything else. Will you come this morning as we sing this song? That's what this time of the service is all about. It's about our invitation, and God's inviting you for whatever needs you may have to come.